Open up your Bibles with me this morning to the book of Joshua, chapter 6. I went over to speak in Rick Renner's church the first time and saw such poverty over in Riga. Went back a year and a half later and saw dramatic changes in the church, in attitudes, in prosperity, in financial prosperity in the congregation. And have you know, the truth of this message is, will it work outside the United States? Will it work in other countries? That's always been something that people have said. Well, you know, if this is really a true message of God, it's not just supposed to work in a prosperous country. Folks, my Bible tells me it'll work in the city and in the field. It'll work no matter where. If you just get faithful to God and honor His word, that God will bless you no matter where you are. And so again, that book is available in the bookstore, called From Just Enough to Overflowing. Look with me at Joshua chapter 6. Let's look at verses 1 through 6. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given unto thy hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And you shall compass the city and all men of war and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day you shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass, when they've made a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the walls of the city shall fall down flat, that the people may ascend up every man straight before him. In this verse of scripture, we have the work of God leading the children of Israel into the land of Canaan. As we've pointed out, this particular city of Jericho stood at the border. And this city represents in our lives the giving of the tithe before we enter into the land of abundance. And in this particular city, God has already told Joshua before, He's also told Moses before, when they come to this first city, that this first city belongs to the Lord. In essence, the first fruits belongs to the Lord. Then He promised He would bless every city after that they would take. In other words, this would be probably the most difficult city they would take. From this time on, God would work with them incredibly. It's interesting also, too, in this particular story, in the chapter just before this, the manna ceased, and the quail that dropped daily ceased. It just suddenly stopped as they entered into the land of abundance. When you move into this area of abundance in God in your life, what happens is God quits working for you and God starts working with you. He promises He would bless whatever you set your hand to. There's many things that God does for us, and we rejoice in that. But there's also things that God wants to work with us as we become obedient to Him. And so in this particular case, as they go to conquer Jericho, God is working with them and promised that as they circle and compass the city and come back to their particular camp each night, that God would be with them. And on the 7th day, He would cause the walls to fall down flat if they would simply be obedient to Him. Let me tell you about the city of Jericho. It was the strongest city in all of the land of Canaan. In other words, it was a border city, and just about anybody that entered into Canaan came through that particular place. And so being a border area, they put the largest fortress they could there, the largest giants they could find went there, the strongest men of war were there, and the strongest of the walls. The walls were so thick around Jericho that it is noted in history that they had chariot races around the top of the walls, and you could actually race 6 chariots side by side around the top of that wall. That's how thick it was. This is where the people of Jericho sat on the wall and harassed the children of Israel as they went around. And I'm sure they made fun of them. They said all kinds of things. But really, on the inside, they were afraid of the children of Israel. I'm going to tell you something today. Satan may harass you, but he's afraid of you. Satan may harass you, but he's afraid of you. He knows you've been born again, and what he hates is for a Christian to find out their rights in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, for a long time, I thought for many, many years that people did not give to the Lord, did not give of their offerings, and did not give of their tithes because they were just basically rebellious. I mean, I've talked to people before, and it was basically just a thing of, I will not, I will not, I will not. And you know, throughout the years, it's been told that churches are mainly supported by 20 to 25% of the people who do some 80 to 85% of the giving. The other 80% of the people, or 75% of the people, just give a little token here or a little token there. I'm here to report to you today that Grace Fellowship just really blows out the national averages everywhere. We have more consistent givers in this church than just about any church I've ever seen. When they came here to help us with the fundraising for this building, I thought it was interesting what the man who helped us said. He began to tell us churches he's worked at all across the country, and he said most churches, people just give a little bit to the Lord all the time, but they'll give big when a building fund comes along. They'll give big amounts of money to help build a building. And so he started looking at our giving records, and he had to look at it two or three times. He said, I've never seen a church this size give this much money consistently. He said, it's all the time. He says, week after week. He said, this is great. He said, you're above the national average, far above the national average. And then he said, but you know, probably you won't get a whole lot of money when it comes to building a building, because what happens is your people have been giving so much, they probably don't have that much left over to give. And was he ever surprised, and were we blown away too, when almost $8.5 million was pledged by the congregation, and you're right on track, in fact, a little ahead of it right now in the giving in a one-year program. Glory to God. Give yourselves a hand for that. Hallelujah. But there are many people who have joined the church in the past 2 years, 3 years, or 4 years who don't know that much about what the Word of God has to say about giving. And how many of you have found out in your life that giving is one of the key areas for God prospering in your entire life? Yes, He can prosper you when you worship Him. Yes, He can prosper you when you're obedient to His Word. But when you're obedient to give, this is really the seed that causes the crop to come in. And it's breaking past the city of Jericho that's often difficult for people. The walls look thick. The enemy looks bad. They're yelling at you from the walls. And a lot of people just get afraid. In fact, what the Lord showed me is that people aren't really rebellious toward giving. They're fearful of giving. Remember the first time that Abraham gave? We talked about that. The next thing the Lord said to him right after that, it said, after these things, the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, fear not, Abram. Why, Abram probably felt the same thing you did the first time you ever gave to the Lord. Or some of you haven't really given of your tithes to the Lord, and the first time you give, you're going to have some cold sweat pop out on your forehead. What am I doing? But all you're doing is moving past this city called Jericho, and God wants you to know it's going to be nice, smooth sailing on the other side as He becomes your shield and your exceeding great reward. Oh, glory to God. You know, for years, they thought the sound barrier couldn't be broken. Why, different throughout the centuries, the faster man went, there was always some myth beyond that. They said that when man first began to, you know, move without a horse and all that, if any person went consistently over 15 miles an hour for over 30 minutes, their nose would bleed. That was a theory they had. Well, they found out when trains were invented, you could go over 15 miles an hour for long periods of time and your nose wouldn't bleed. Well, they kept developing these things and finally came up to the speed of sound. And because people in jets and were flying along would approach the speed of sound and the whole plane would shake, they said it's impossible to go beyond the speed of sound. If you even approach the speed of sound, your plane will disintegrate, you'll fall apart. All these things would happen to you if you ever broke the speed of sound. Well, someone finally broke the speed of sound and found out, yes, the plane shook as it approached the speed of sound. Yes, the sound waves, the plane was actually catching up with its own sound waves and had to break through that. But once it broke through, they found out something interesting. It was smoother on the other side than it was on this side. It was smooth once they broke through the sound barrier, and then they could go not only Mach 1, they could go Mach 2, Mach 3, and kept on going faster and faster, and found out it was smooth sailing. All that was just a myth when it came to breaking through the sound barrier. But some of you have not broken the tithe barrier yet. The closer you get to it... And you have all these people on this side of it saying, don't do it, don't do it. Your nose will bleed. Don't do it. Your life will fall apart. Don't do that. But folks, I'm here to tell you there's a multitude on the other side saying, come on through. Come on through. It's smooth sailing on the other side. Just break on through it. And fear has kept you from doing that. And so when you finally break through, it's smooth. And there's a lot of people that walked around Jericho each and every day saying, is there another way in the promised land? Is there any other way to get in this place? Can we kind of root around it? Can we dig under it? How about we pole vault over this thing and go on in the promised land? And God's saying, no, you've got to go through Jericho and find out that I will fight your battles with you. And after that, I will be your shield and your exceeding great reward. Jericho has the thickest walls. Jericho has the biggest army. It has the tallest of the giants there. But I'm here to tell you, they're afraid of you more than you're afraid of them. How do we know that? Well, he said in this verse of scripture, he said to Joshua, see, I have given you the city. How could he say that? Because this was the final proof to his eyes, to Joshua's eyes, of what he had heard. He had heard they were afraid of them. The spies that were sent in, two of them back in chapter 2. Turn with me for a moment back to chapter 2 and look what it says in verses 10 and 11. Here's the two spies that were sent in and they ended up at Rahab's house. And Rahab starts to inform them. They've been wandering for 39 years in the wilderness afraid of the inhabitants of Canaan. But look what she says in verse 10. We have heard how the Lord God dried up the waters of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our heart did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. You know what she's been saying? What she's saying is, what took you guys so long? We've been shaking in our boots for 39 years knowing you were coming. I'm sure these two spies looked at each other and started laughing and said, are you kidding? We've been shaking our boots out there because of the size of the giants. Remember that two spies came back with a good report? 10 spies came back with an evil report? Seemed like those that want to discourage you from giving always outnumber those who want to encourage you to give. But folks, it doesn't matter. What did God say? The two that came back with a good report said, God has said, they're bread for us. The two that came back with a good report came back talking about the prosperity of the land and the promises of God. I'll say that again. The two spies that came back with a good report came back talking about the provisions and the prosperity of the land and the word of God. So I'm here to tell you folks, on this side of the side of prosperity, when you start breaking through that tithing barrier, you start breaking through that giving barrier, I'm here to tell you on the other side, there's the fruits. And the fruits are big. The grapes are so big it takes two people to carry a cluster on their shoulders. That's how much prosperity is in the land. And I'm here to tell you, don't listen to those prophets of gloom and doom. You listen to the word of God, because this land is bread for you if you'll just break through. Remember, two tribes didn't go over. Two tribes stayed on the other side, but 10 tribes did go in. It's kind of like everything turned around. Instead of two good ones, now there's 10 good ones, and two decided not to go over and just stay in the land of the wilderness. But the other 10 tribes went on over. And yes, they conquered Canaan and found out exactly what God had said was true. So again, Rahab's report to the spies was, all this time is that we've been afraid of you. And what had happened is, now Joshua sees it through his own eyes. He's looking and sees these people. The city is shut up. Nobody's coming in. Nobody's going out. They're standing on top of the walls looking and realizing it's been true. For 39 years, they've been shaking. It took Israel 1 year in the wilderness to come to the border. And in the borders where they sent the spies over, and because of their disobedience, they wandered for 39 more years in the wilderness. And now they're going to go over with the second generation, and God says in this verse of Scripture, see, I have given you the land. I want you to underline the word see. Go back to Joshua chapter 6 and go with me to that verse of Scripture, verse 2, and he says, see, I have given unto you the hand of Jericho. I have given into your hand Jericho. Underline the word see. It's very important. God didn't mean to see with the physical eyes. He meant to see through the eyes of the Spirit, to see through the eyes of faith. Up until now, he's heard God's report. Up until now, he's heard the word of the Lord. Up until now, he's heard the reports that have come back from Rahab, the two spies. And now he's looking with his eyes, and God says, now I want you to see that I have given into your hand Jericho. Notice Jericho hasn't fallen in the natural yet. But how do you know? You don't have to wait for it to fall. God has promised it will fall. So I'm here to tell you again, why do we have praise reports? Why last week did we have on a video Joe and Barbara telling you about the prosperity that's entered into their house? Why do we have different praise reports? We read you about people who have prospered and they finally acted on the word of God and it came to pass. Because folks, all we're doing is coming back with the big grapes on our shoulders saying, see how good it is in the promised land. We're trying to inspire you that yes, all of this is true, but everyone has to experience this for themselves. Everyone has this border city called Jericho that you have to face the thick walls of your fears and the giants of your excuses that for years have held you back. The fears have held you back because it looks so thick. How can we ever conquer this? How can God ever bless us on the other side? Next of all, the giants represent the excuses you've had for years. Well, I've got my kids and I've got my car and I've got all this. And God's simply saying, when are you going to set your priorities in order and realize that when God says it, it will come to pass? So again, we see through the eyes of faith. And if God has, in essence, blessed us already through salvation and through healing, how many of you know there came a day when you finally set aside all your prejudices and you received Jesus as Lord and Savior? All right? Did it work? Yes. How many of you know there came a time one day when you decided to set aside all your fears and all your excuses and trust Him for healing? How many of you know healing works? Well, then why won't you trust him when it comes to prosperity? Lay aside all your excuses and lay aside your fears and simply step out in faith and watch that Jordan split right under your feet and watch God defeat for you those armies and those monsters and those terrible giants that are in the land of Canaan, that are in Jericho on the border. And God promises, give that to me. Give me the first fruits. Give it to the Lord and watch him bless you from that time on. So again, we need to see through the eyes of faith. Those that returned with a good report, again, came back. The two came back with a good report, stood on the promises of God, and that's what God is asking us to do. Next of all, I want you to notice in verse 3 of that particular chapter, Joshua chapter 6, it said, "And you shall compass the city, all the men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days." He's saying here to send forth those mighty men of war. And what I'm going to tell you now is, folks, to conquer this and go through it and break out on the other side is a battle. But here's the good news is it's a battle you've already been promised you're going to win. I'm here to tell you that when you step out and decide to trust God for prosperity with the proper motive behind it, I'm going to use the prosperity for helping to spread the kingdom of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell you all hell will come against you, but the good news is you're going to win. How many would rather have battles that you win than no battles at all and stay in the wilderness? Okay? See, a lot of people want to stay in the wilderness because it seems safe. I don't have any battles here. But I'm here to tell you, folks, great victories come with great battles. Great prosperity comes through great battles. How did Abraham receive all that prosperity? He went and went after the 5 kings and came back and won with the spoils of war. How did David enter into his prosperity? Well, I can tell you how God first prospered him. It was at a city called Ziklag when he and his men came back. It had been burned to the ground. Their wives had been taken. Their children had been taken. Their possessions had been taken. But God spoke to David and said, go and conquer. So he went and chased after them and conquered them, and not only brought back his wives and his children and his servants and all of those that were with him, he brought back spoils of war that this army had conquered many other armies. And David came back with enough wealth to pay off everybody that had ever helped him and millions left over to help him ascend the kingdom and ascend the throne of the kingship of the nation of Israel. This is how God did it, again, through battle. How do you know that Jesus brought our prosperity to us through battle on the cross and 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth? But when he arose from the dead, he's here to divide the spoils for us. I'm here to let you know Satan will attack, but God has promised you ahead of time, I have given you the land. I have given you the land. So again, it's going to be a time of war. But again, this is one of those things that is the good fight of faith. I like what David Ingalls said in his song. What is a good fight? It's a fight that you win. How do you know we can go into the good fight of faith knowing we're going to win? It's been promised ahead of time. Next of all, we are told in the Word of God in Romans chapter 8, if God be for us, who can be against us? Next of all, we're told, in fact, just write this scripture down. I'll just quote it for you. Luke chapter 14 and verse 31 says, "And what king, going to make war against another king, sits not down first and consults whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends an ambassador and desires conditions of peace." What happens is so often we don't sit down and count the cost. So when it comes to fighting against the devil, we need to count the cost. In other words, examine our lives before we go into battle. And this is exactly what God had the children of Israel do, sit down and count the cost. First of all, they were far outnumbered. You say, yeah, but there was something like 2 or 3 million Jews. Yes, but they weren't all military. How do you know the standing military of Israel at that time was really poor? It was. They hadn't even become a nation yet to organize. They had a few fighting men, but the fighting men weren't near what they had in Jericho. And on top of that, Jericho was precision. Jericho, the army that was there, was trained men of war, and Israel had no trained men of war. They had to trust in the Lord. So how did they count the cost? Luke tells us again, no man going to battle doesn't go unless he sits down and counts the cost first. How did they count the cost? They have to look at what the enemy has, and they have to look at what they have. So how did God do that? He had them go out for 6 days, and every day go around the city one time. and not say a word. Just stare at the walls and stare at the people. How do you know that sent fear through anybody looking at those walls? But what did they do after that? They went back to their camp. And what did they do when they went back to the camp? They counted the cost. They looked at the walls. They looked at the rocks that made the walls. They looked at the size of the giants. Then they came back and looked at the word. Would you write this down? God wants you to look at the circumstances. I'm going to say that again. God wants you to look at the circumstances. He doesn't want you to ignore them. But what He wants you to do is come back and compare the circumstances to the promises of God. God doesn't ask you to ignore your checkbook. God doesn't ask you to take your bills and throw them all away and ignore them, saying God will pay them. God's not going to work for you in this situation. He's going to work with you in this situation. But God wants you to examine the problem. There's nothing wrong with going to a doctor and getting a doctor's report for what's wrong with you. But you don't live by the doctor's report. You come home and look at the Word of God and compare the promises of God to the sickness that you have and declare, greater is the Word of God than the sickness that is in me. We are told in the Word of God, you say, yes, but the Bible says that Abraham considered not his own body. No, it doesn't. The Greek actually says he did consider his own body now dead and the deadness of Sarah's womb, but he staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief. Woo, glory to God. He looked at his body and said, can't have a kid. Looked at her body and said, can't have a kid. We're too old. And then he looked at God's promises and they both decided one day, we don't care what our bodies say. We don't care what the doctor's report says. We're going to go with the Word of God, and God resurrected their dead beings and brought forth children. I'm here to tell you it's important that you look at the circumstances and then weigh it against the promises of God and have it in your heart that I don't care how thick the walls look and I don't care how big the giants appear, the Word of God is greater. Amen. See, God didn't get mad at the 10 for bringing back a report that the giants were there. For the two that came back with a good report saw the giants too. But the best thing was the two that came back compared the giants to the Word. The 10 that came back with an evil report compared themselves to the giants. Folks, if you compare yourself to your circumstances, you'll lose. But if you compare the circumstances to the Word, you'll win. You'll win. So they went out each day and they compassed the city one day and walked around. Didn't say anything. God said, don't say anything. They just looked at those walls and went, oh my God, look at those things. They walked around, they were just speaking to themselves, I'm sure they were, and they look up and see the size of those giants. I mean, those giants were 9 and 10 feet tall. I mean, Goliath was one of them that came later on. I mean, these giants were huge, and to see these giants standing up there with these giant spears that were bigger than they are, knowing one of those spears could pin them to the wall, they looked at that and looked at the walls, and yet they kept marching around, they go back to their camp each night. Don't you know the citizens of Jericho were thinking, what is going on? These guys don't say anything. They just walk around here. Some 2 or 3 million of them just walking around our wall one time, and they go home. On the seventh day, they marched around it 7 times, and then they blew the trumpets. And what happened? The walls fell down flat. I'm here to tell you, I don't care how big the walls are or how big the giants are, they will fall at the Word of God. Fall at the Word of God. What brought the walls down? Praise and worship attached to the Word. Praise and worship attached to the Word brought it down. This is the plan of God. I want to give you some scriptures. Now, some of you have never, ever stepped out in faith, and some of you are still fearing those walls. But I want to give you some scriptures. In fact, I want to give you 7 scriptures. And I want you, over the next 7 days, between now and next Sunday, to take each scripture and take them one day. Tomorrow, Monday, I want you to take the first scripture. Tuesday, I want you to take the second scripture. I want you to examine your checkbook, examine your savings account, look at what you have in there, but each day that you do, come back and look at the promise that's been given to you. Every day, come back to your camp, which is the Word of God. You don't camp in your checkbook, you camp on the Word of God. You go examine the checkbook, you examine your savings account, you examine your bills, but come back and look at these promises of God. And the first one is 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So again, 2 Timothy 1, 7, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. There's your Monday verse. I want to give you a Tuesday verse. Tuesday verse is Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. And I'm going to put it in your case. And that is, I will honor the Lord with the first fruits of all of my increase. So shall my barns be filled with plenty, and my presses will burst out with new wine. Hold up that checkbook, and folks, that is your barn. Hold up your savings account book. That's your presses. And look at those things and declare over them, I will honor the Lord with my first fruits, and with all of my increase, so shall my barns be filled with plenty, and my presses will burst out with new wine. The third day, here's a verse for you. This is one that you can use as you march around your checkbook and examine it. March around your savings account and examine it. The third one is 2 Corinthians 9:8. God is able to make all grace abound to me, so that having all sufficiency in all things, I may abound unto every good work. Again, God is able to make all grace abound to me, so that having all sufficiency in all things, I may abound unto every good work. Thursday, here's one for you, Isaiah 1:19. Isaiah 1:19 says, since I am willing and obedient, I will eat the good of the land. I am willing and obedient, therefore I will eat the good of the land. On Friday, your verse will be Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. And that is, when I give, it shall be given unto me. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, men will give into my bosom. That's Luke 6, 38. Then on Saturday, here's one for you, 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8. And that is, I will not, if I sow sparingly, I will reap sparingly, but if I sow bountifully, then I will reap bountifully. Again, that is 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. Again, yes, 6, 8. It's verse 6. Okay. If I sow sparingly, I will reap sparingly. Go look it up yourself. I will sow bountifully, I will reap bountifully. All you technical folk out there, you just like to see Pastor Bob make a mistake. I've got plenty of them, that's fine. And then finally, on next Sunday, as you come to church, this will be your verse, Genesis 15:1. This is the one that Abraham said, so we're going to apply it to you. I will not fear, because the Lord will be my shield and my ever-increasing supply of money. I'll say that again. I will not fear. The Lord will be my shield and my ever-increasing supply of money. Folks, take a verse a day. Then when we come back next Sunday, guess what we're going to do? I'm going to quote to you all seven of them before we give the offering. We're going to march around that thing seven times next Sunday. Monday, you've got one time. Tuesday, you've got one time. Wednesday, you've got one time. March around those things. Look at the promises of God when you come back. Come back to this promise. Each day, examine your checkbook, your savings account, your IRAs. Examine your bills and all those things. Don't let the walls scare you. Don't let the giants scare you. Come right back to the Word of God and compare your problems to the promises of God. And again, each day, come back to the promises. And by next Sunday, have you know, your faith will be built up if you examine the Word of God every day on fear and giving and prosperity. It will. We'll come back next Sunday. We'll quote all seven of them, and we're going to have a miraculous offering next week, because it's going to be you moving into your land of abundance, you conquering that city of Jericho. And folks, next week your walls are going to fall in that, as we come to prayer and agreement next week. Now, what I want to do right now is, some of you are facing some fears right now. Before you even get in the Word of God, I want to pray with you, because we're going to start with prayer. Some of you need on your job. You say, Pastor, this is wonderful, all this, but let me tell you where I need to begin. Here's some of my fears. I need a raise at my job. I could sure use an extra bonus here and there. I could use some increased sales. Would you pray for me in that area? In fact, I could use some benefits. My benefits package isn't that great. In fact, Pastor, to be honest with you, I could use a whole new job. So that means one of those is bound to hit you in that area. A raise or a bonus, increased sales, a benefit, new job. Some of you in your home say, Pastor, in my home, I could sure use a decrease in bills. I could use some bills being paid off. If I could find some sales when I go out to shop, it would help. It seemed like every time I turn around and buy something, it's more expensive than it was before. We're going to depend on the Holy Spirit today to lead you to sales. Amen. How do you believe the Holy Spirit wants to lead you to the sale? How do you believe that He can lead you and you'll find something exactly what you want and wonder, why has nobody else bought this? It must have been laying here just for me. And it's been laying there so long, it's now 75% off. Amen. God wants to work in your home in that way. Next of all, He wants you to have settlements, some kind of settlements to come your way. Praise God, we'll believe for that. Here's some for the wives. In fact, I got a letter this week, and this is what inspired me on this issue right here. Last week when I prayed with you and we agreed, and we had told you that the husbands were standing at the bottom of the ladder, or if you didn't have a husband, that you were standing, single wives, single mothers at the bottom of the ladder. I had a letter from a lady, and my heart just went out to her. She said, that's wonderful, I'm married, she said, but my husband doesn't come to church, doesn't serve God, doesn't love the Lord. and I'm coming. What can I do? Well, I'm here to tell you, you're at the bottom of that ladder. God's going to bless you. As you step out in commitment, in fact, my prayer this morning is your faith is going to sanctify that household. Amen. Sanctify that household. So, husbands to serve God, quit gambling, quit drinking, and take spiritual leadership in the home. For husbands, for your wives to serve God, and to use the prosperity that comes into your house wisely. And for parents who want their children to serve God so they'll have someone godly to pass on their prosperity to. Now, if that applies any of those areas, for the job, for the home, for the wives, for the husband, or for the parents, stand to your feet because I'm going to agree with you in prayer this morning. This prayer will be for you. That's what I figured. Just about everybody. That's what I was asking for. Hallelujah. Well, maybe there's some kids here who want to agree with their parents to be more godly. You can stand up right there too. All right? Hallelujah. I want everybody to join hands all the way across the congregation. I mean, if you have to stand across the aisle to get hold of somebody's hand, please do so. Everybody touching everybody. The verse of scripture I'm going to pray over you this morning is this, is that everything that you set your hand to will prosper. We're not going to sit back and say, God, you do all this. No, I'm going to work through your hands. And folks, if he's going to work through your hands, it's going to be the hand of God working through your hand. His hand is the Holy Spirit, the anointing, the supernatural. I'm going to touch the hands of these ushers right up here in front. And I'm just going to ask, in fact, those on the end, just reach back and grab somebody. I want everybody touching somebody. Because when I pray up here, I'm going to believe God, that anointing is just going to sweep through this congregation. You're going to see your home situation surround, your job situation surround. And listen, it's not just prayer. You're going to go home and add the word to it. Prayer and the Word, the Holy Spirit and the Word together are explosive. Amen? Instead of us shaking in our boots, Satan shaking in his boots. And I can't think of a better day to do this than Halloween. Can you? Amen? Praise God. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask right now for your anointing to spread through this congregation, into their jobs, into their homes, into husbands, into wives, into children, into parents. Father, I ask right now for your anointing. Father, we see it right now, increases in pay, new jobs. Father, husbands serving God, wives serving God, drinking coming to an end, gambling stopping right now in Jesus' name. Father, we ask that divine anointing for sales come our way, that Father, we would find the best deals, the best prices at all times, and Father, that not only would you bring prosperity into our life, but Father, on the other end, you're going to save us money. Father, so we'll have more and more left over to sow into the kingdom of God, seed into our future, causing crops to come in. And Father, we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Let's give the Lord a shout. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Remember again, Monday, you're in 2 Timothy. Tuesday, you're in Proverbs. Wednesday, you're in 2 Corinthians. Thursday in Isaiah. Friday in Luke. Saturday in 2 Corinthians. Next Sunday, you're back with Genesis 15, 1. The verse that God gave to Abraham, he will be your shield and your ever-increasing supply of money. Amen. Next week, we're going to offer to God a big shout offering as we receive the offering. And that's where your seed's going to first be planted. And some of you are going to conquer Jericho for the first time. Others are going to give looking back in remembrance when that city fell in your life and you've been moving out in prosperity ever since. Amen. Father, we thank you this morning for your promises, for your word, and we give you praise.
Thank you for listening to this podcast by Pastor Bob Yandian. If you would like to learn more about Bob Yandian or to view a product list, visit our website at bobyandian.com. Bob Yandian Ministries is training up a new generation in the Word of God. If you've been blessed by this ministry, we hope you will consider paying it forward and becoming a partner with Pastor Bob. For more information, visit bobyandian.com.